So again, my name is Sean Lucan. I'm a family doctor in the Bronx at Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and I have nothing to disclose, other than the fact that we're going to be shifting gears a little bit here, and I'm going to start with a little bit of background. I know you've been backgrounded to death, so I'm going to keep this really simple. This is food. And we think foods like this, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, water, probably good, whereas foods like this... delicious, but probably not so good. And that's true whether you're talking about health promotion, disease prevention, weight maintenance, or longevity. Unfortunately, these foods are all too common for the patients that I take care of and manage. And trying to change people's dietary behaviors clinically is very frustrating. And that brings me to this figure by Tom Frieden, our former commissioner of the Department of Health and now our current CDC director. And this is his health impact pyramid. So here I am in the top, in the office, counseling patients. And it takes a lot of effort on my part. It takes a lot of effort on the patient's part. And if we should happen to be successful, which happens very rarely, we affect one person at a time. So it's very inefficient, a lot of effort, a lot of work, not a lot of bang for the buck. So perhaps we might do better to think about the environmental context within which people make dietary decisions and try to operate on that. And so I'm not the only one who's come to have that realization or that thinking. And I apologize to any of you who saw either of my two talks tomorrow. Some of this background is going to be redundant, but I'll go through the background pretty quickly. But this is a slide put together by Sharon Kirkpatrick, Jill Reedy, and Robin McKinnon at the National Cancer Institute, just showing the growth in food environment studies over the last two decades. And you can see in the last 10 years, there's just been an explosion, a lot of interest in this area, just kind of exponential growth. But another presentation by that group really showed that people are focusing on really two areas, so food stores and restaurants. There's been some focus on schools, a little bit looking at home and work, but no one, at least as far as I can tell, is talking about this, right? So what about the guys selling food in the street? What about the mobile? Wow, there are more people back there. Hi, how are you? The mobile food environment. And so, you know, certainly that could have, this could be very important in some municipalities, particularly in urban landscapes like New York. So this is New York, and Robin already showed us some of these images. Just to give you a little bearing, for those of you not from New York, so there are five boroughs. I'm kind of up here at the top, so that's my office, the hospital, the clinic where I see patients, all kind of within the heart of darkness. And the darkness here is ate no fruits and vegetables yesterday. So these are people having not only low vegetable consumption, but, you know, Robin showed some other maps, and all of these maps pretty much overlay. So poor access to fruits and vegetables, high consumption of sugar-sweetened beverages, high consumption of fast foods, diabetes, obesity, heart disease, it all looks like this. And so I really kind of wanted to see what the street vendor environment looked like in this area. So my objectives were these, pretty simple. Where are the street vendors and what are they selling? So yesterday I gave a talk kind of talking about where select street vendors were, doing some mapping and some spatial analysis. For those interested in that, it should be on the eEssentials, or I'm happy to email it to you. What I want to focus on today is what the street vendors sell. And so I gave another presentation yesterday about the methods for doing this. So this really hadn't been done before, and so we were just trying to figure out what the best way to look at an urban mobile street food environment was, and I gave a very detailed description here. I'm just going to briefly summarize, but again, I'm happy to forward that presentation to anyone interested. So essentially, I got two crazy interns together to drive all the streets of the Bronx. One person drove, one person looked for food vendors, they identified a vendor, parked the car, went up to the vendor, one asked questions, one made observations, they jotted things down, went back to the car, and repeated. Questions. Good. All right. So what do street vendors sell? So we wanted to look at a couple different categories. So number of kinds of produce. So any whole, fresh, cut-up fruits or vegetables. We wanted to look to see if there were any whole grain options. So is anyone selling brown rice? Is anyone doing whole wheat bread or pita? Is there oatmeal available? Number of prepared foods. So I define prepared food as anything the vendor themselves made. So these are very popular. They're pastelitos, you know, salads, things that the vendor would prepare themselves in the car or at home and then bring out to vend. And then we want to look at processed foods. which I defined as mass manufactured prepackaged processed products like, you know, Lay's potato chips, Snickers bars, snow cones, those kinds of things. And then healthy items. And I defined healthy as anything with any kind of health claim on it. So, you know, no sugar, high protein, low cholesterol, natural Viagra, whatever. So whether it had any bearing on health at all is just what they were claiming to push the item. Okay. And then what drinks are people selling? So I wanted to look at calorie drinks, caloric drinks, sugary drinks like sodas, energy drinks, sports beverages. I looked at whole and sweetened milks, looked at juices and fruit drinks, and then frozen drinks like smoothies and milkshakes and those kinds of things. Looked specifically to see if there was any low-fat milk option. And then we looked for non-caloric drinks, so water, carbonated water, unsweetened tea, and coffee. And these are the results. So we found 372 vendors across the whole borough, and they basically broke down into these categories at the top. Now, we did this sampling in the summer and the fall, so that's why you see that the biggest category here is frozen novelty, followed by produce, and then there were ethnic foods and other prepared items. Fruits and vegetables accounted for about a quarter of the sample, but notably, so you would expect produce vendors to be selling fruits and vegetables. But if you look at the other vendors, so people like with lunch trucks or, you know, other prepared foods, only 10% of those sold any fruits and vegetables. So like apple, banana, salad, anything like that. Only one vendor in all the entire sample had any whole grain option. And it was at a halal truck with you could get brown rice there. There were no, and I was surprised by this, no one made any health claims. So there were no healthy options anywhere. Prepared foods. So a full quarter of the vendors and as many as 61 different varieties, right? So some of these trucks are just peddling enormous amounts of questionable material. And two of 81 produce vendors. So interesting. So the produce vendors aren't just selling produce. They're also selling other things. Processed foods. Oh, this is interesting. So more than half of all vendors sold some kind of processed food, as much as 80 different varieties. And a higher proportion of produce vendors selling processed foods, right? So those are the things that are mass manufactured, pre-wrapped candies, cookies, cakes, potato chips. And two of three green card vendors, which is expressly disallowed by the law. So green cards are a special case I talked about yesterday. They are only permitted to sell whole, fresh, unprocessed produce. Drinks. 40% of vendors sold some caloric beverages, as many as 21 different varieties. Many of the produce vendors, so a full quarter of them, were selling caloric drinks. Three of the green carts. At 11% of the vendors that sold drinks, a caloric drink was all you could get. So if you went to the lunch trunk, you wanted to have, you know, a beverage with your lunch, all you could get was something that had calories. There was no water, no seltzer, no unsweetened diet options or any carbonated flavored waters. Non-caloric beverages. So about 37% of the vendors, a lot were available at produce vendors. And this was a whole category unto itself. Because, again, we did this in the summer. So in the Bronx, it's very popular around, like, highway entrance ramps. So, I mean, the Bronx is, like, unbearable, unbelievable, unimaginable traffic, right? And so you're just sweltering in your car, and there are people with coolers and water and just coming up to your car. And so that was 3% of all the vendors we found. Specialty beverages, very interesting. So no low-fat milk anywhere. Only three vendors sold milk at all, and they were almost outnumbered by people selling beer, which was really surprising. In any case, so seasonal variation. So as I mentioned, we did this in the summer and the fall, and so there were 207. So there were more vendors in the summer, but those are the ones that we completed interviews with. So as I talked about yesterday, which I won't go into detail today, there's a lot of reluctance and refusal. People very suspicious, don't want to cooperate. So these are the interviews we were able to complete. So of those 207, only 71 are there in the winter. So there's a full two-thirds that drop out. So it's largely a seasonal phenomenon. Here's just kind of a table showing the distribution. So we got frozen novelty, prepared foods and ethnic foods, fruits and vegetables. What I just want to note is that, you know, frozen novelty essentially drops out in the winter, although not completely. And I swear to God, we had 3 feet of snow on the ground, middle of February, and there's an ice cream truck driving right around my clinic with that annoying, you know, ding, 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 ding. Clearly didn't go to business school. water, so water drops out. But so, you know, with water and frozen novelty dropping out, the point I want to make is that the proportion of fruits and vegetables, their representation in the landscape is relatively constant, so representing about a third of all vendors. So regardless of what time of year, even though, you know, the landscape changes a little, the relative proportion of, you know, quote-unquote healthy options remains relatively constant. So in summary, so only 10% of the vendors that sold prepared foods sold any fruit or vegetable product, like a salad. Conversely, a higher proportion of those selling produce sold some kind of processed product, like cookies. There was a large number and a wide variety of vendors across the borough, but there was, you know, low-fat milk and whole grains were essentially absent. Fruits and vegetables were relatively limited, but items, you know, high in unhealthy fats, calories, salt, sugar were abundant. The number of vendors drops by two-thirds in the winter, but the relative proportion of produce to, you know, processed and prepared foods remains relatively constant. And this study has a lot of limitations. So it's cross-sectional. I don't know what people are buying. I don't know what people are eating. I don't know how the vendor, you know, I don't know what the customer base is. I don't know how the vendors integrate into the larger landscape of food stores and supermarkets and grocery stores, etc. But I think, you know, irrespective of those limitations, on the whole, we can say that the overall contribution of street vendors is probably unhealthy on balance. And more work needs to be done on that. This is just kind of pilot work. But in any case, I'd like to acknowledge all the people that made this possible. Again, I gave two earlier talks here at APHA. They should be available on eEssentials, or if you want to email me, I'm happy to talk or discuss. And this meeting is now adjourned.